Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio. It's time for Today in History, Scranton edition, because how do we know where we're going unless we remember where we've been? I was able to get this information by the use of several consultants and at least three grants, so we'll see how it turns out here. But today is today's Scranton's birthday. We're going to talk about how and why. Scranton, Pennsylvania has a rich history tied to its industrial growth and strategic location in Lackawanna Valley. Here's an overview on its founding and incorporation. The pre-settlement in the area would become Scranton, as originally inhabited by the Lenape and other Native American tribes. European settlers began arriving in the late 18th century. Early 19th century, the region, initially called Slocum Hollow, so a modest settlement due to its proximity to the Lackawanna River and natural resources like coal and iron. The land was part of Luzerne County, and before Lackawanna County was established in 1878. The iron industry founded the Scranton. It's closely linked to the iron industry. In 1840, brothers Selden and George Scranton, along with their cousin Joseph Scranton, and other investors established an iron forge in the Slocum Hollow to capitalize on the area's anthracite, coal, and iron ore deposits. They formed the Lackawanna Iron and Coal Company, which became the economic backbone of the area. By the mid-1840s, the growing settlement was renamed Scranton in honor of the Scranton family, who were instrumental in industrial development for the area. Its first incorporation, a borough status, in 1856. February 14, 1856, Scranton was officially incorporated as a borough, reflecting its growing population and economic significance. This status allowed for local governance and infrastructure development. As the iron industry boomed and the population swelled, Scranton was incorporated as a city on April 23, 1866. Today, this milestone solidified the status as a major industrial hub, driven by iron production, coal mining, and later railroads. Scranton's location in the heart of anthracite coal region fueled its industrial rise, earning the nickname the Anthracite Capital of the World. The arrival of the Delaware, Lackawanna, and Western Railroad in the 1850s connected Scranton to broader markets, boosting its economy. Waves of immigrants, particularly from Ireland, Wales, and Eastern Europe, settled in Scranton to work in the mines, mills, and factories, shaping its cultural and demography identity. By the late 19th and early 20th centuries, Scranton was a thriving industrial city with a peak population of over 140,000 in 1930. Became known for its innovation like the electric streetcar, earning it the nickname the Electric City. Was a major center for coal mining until the industry's decline after World War II. The city faced economic challenges in the mid-20th century as coal mining waned, but has since diversified its economy, focusing on education, healthcare, and tourism while preserving its historical legacy. Scranton's founding and incorporation were driven by the vision of industrials like the Scranton brothers and the region's abundant natural resources, which transformed a small settlement into a key American city. I'm glad I found it. I know a lot of you are glad you found it. A lot of you are multi-generational here. My parents moved here, a few years before I did, down in just outside of Scranton, down in Madisonville Township, still Lackawanna County. And believe it or not, I circled a bubble on where the New Yorkers didn't go. And I bought my house just outside of that bubble because dealing with the Poconos for too many years, I didn't want to live and leaving New York. You know, I wanted to get away from that and assimilate to here. And I think I did a good job of doing that. Isolated myself up in the rural mountains of northern Lackawanna County, right on the Susquehanna border. But it's a good place. Good place to be. Hopefully with the right leadership, it maintains that way. And it could. We'll see. DL&W, my grandfather retired from that and was our family built for it from it. Text messages coming in. looking at some other text messages happening here. And it you know, looking at the refurbishment that we see, you know, I was talking a little about it in jest, talking about how it was, you know, such a task to light up the tower for St. Patrick's Day. But in all honesty, I mean, there it is truly a gem of this area. It's unfortunate that it's not more accessible. That was one of the topics during the debate of making City Hall more accessible. And I understand the arguments. I don't agree with the arguments. Basically, they're one of the mayor's standing points is safety and security. And that's any City Hall has a safety and security issue. Now, there should be places that the public can go, and there should be places that the public don't go. Obviously, the public shouldn't be walking into, you know, offices in the area, but there should be a reception area. There should be places to where you can go talk to people, and somebody can come out and talk to you. There should obviously be a mix of secured and open spaces, like most other city halls. A lot of places have security checkpoints. Now, I would imagine the argument's going to be, well, if you want to put a police officer, which is the standard for a lot of cities like Scranton size and above, their answer will be, well, do you want to take a police officer off the street to post them at City Hall? No, I want you to hire an additional police officer and put them there. And this way, if something happens at or around City Hall, they're there to respond. But their primary duty would be to City Hall, like most other city halls of this size and bigger. But that's what the argument would be. You know, where do you want to take a police officer away from to put one here? It's not this or that. It's not and or. They also point to that there's state law that says a municipality cannot prevent someone with a firearm from coming into a municipal building. That is true. That is state law. And it supersedes municipal law. So you're telling me that every legal gun owner in Pennsylvania, in Scranton, in this area, is a threat to the city of government? Is that what they're saying? Because that person who legally carries a firearm anywhere else is just as much anywhere outside of City Hall, if you're a potential threat, than inside City Hall, correct? So it's interesting that someone who is legally practicing their constitutional right, has gotten their concealed carry permit, and as a law-abiding citizen is seen as a potential threat in City Hall, when the law specifically says that, the state law specifically says that a municipality cannot prevent a legally possessed firearm owner from entering a municipal building. So their answer is, we just don't let anybody in. See, the argument falls apart when you start questioning it. And the answer is not less access. The answer is not no access. The answer should be, how do we provide access safely? Well, you obviously have places in City Hall that people can and can't go. You obviously have a reception area where you can actually talk to people who can get the proper person out to maybe answer questions or maybe talk to you. And if they're not busy, schedule an appointment for when you can come back and they're available. It's not hard if you have the will to do it. It's not hard if you're open to doing these things. So I find a lot of the arguments when it comes to that is non-starters. And there should be follow-up there. Do you see every legal, lawfully possessed firearm owner in the city of Scranton as a threat? Because if you do, you have a greater problem as someone who's not only the executive for the city of Scranton, but who swears to uphold the Constitution, the laws of the city, state, and government. Just a thought. It's 4:55 here at WILK. We'll be back in just a minute.